Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. I'll warn you, when people leave a church, it's because they don't have this with them. Likewise, when somebody leaves a marriage, they don't have this with them, sometimes too. And when someone stays in a marriage, when things get hard, they have this with them. And when someone, and all the people in this room, when they stay in a church, and they keep staying in the church, it's because they have this with them. It's the reason you stay in marriages and churches and things like that. And I don't know if you brought it with you today before you start searching your purse. I hope that you get it today from these scriptures and that you take it with you when you leave. And what is that? In a nutshell, it's patient love. Patient love. An ongoing commitment to others when things get difficult. So beginning here in chapter 4 of Ephesians, after giving us what our identity is in Christ and praying for our spiritual activity, he then tells us how to walk, how to live. And we unpack chapter 4, verse 2 today, and these verses show us how to walk when things get hard. So that shows us that this Christian walk is sometimes going to burn the backs of your legs. And it's going to be uphill, some of the trip. Some of this trip's going to be uphill. And Paul tells us the second mark that matches our calling here in verse 2. If you remember the one back that we looked at last week, he tells us to walk worthy of our calling in humility with all gentleness. So we should understand our position before God and let that position before God of lowliness lower ourselves in such a way that we treat other people gently because of how God has dealt with us. And here he tells us necessarily the second mark that matches our calling in verse 2. If you look at it down in your Bible in verse 2, this is the verse that we'll be meditating on together. He says, so walk worthy in according to your calling, that's the context, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. So we see that we should keep walking in love even when it's uphill. We should keep walking in love even when it's uphill. Now, just as a reminder, he's not telling us that we should walk worthy so that we will be called, or walk in a way that earns the calling of God, or walk in a way that earns us something before God. He's saying that God has already given us our new identity in Christ, and there is a way that you ought to be living that matches that identity, and some things fit and other things don't fit. Other things don't fit. So look at how this argument builds and why he put humility first, if that makes sense. Because if you look down there, the verse, you have to understand your position before God, the one of which and you have received mercy, so you're gentle with one another, and you've been adopted by God, according to the first chapter of Ephesians, and given his Spirit, and because of that, you ought to walk with patience, bearing with one another in love. All of that flows into that. And why is it like that, and why is the order of Ephesians like it is? Because of our identity and our adoption, walking with patience or long suffering is now possible. But it's not automatic. It's possible, but it might not be automatic. Because the question might pop up in your mind as you're dealing with other people in the church, how long is this gentleness going to take? So-and-so is really getting on my nerves. Right? How long are these one another's going to take? Because they're really irritating me. Because he's telling us the pattern of our life ought to match what God has done for us. And it's a walk that we're on. And who are these other people on this walk? Well, welcome to Earth, third rock from the sun. These people that are on the trip are really going to bother you. Like the kid in the back seat that's like, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? There are people in the church that rub up against you like human sandpaper and ask you, make you ask the question, am I there yet? Because I really want to get there, because here is really annoying. So this trip is with other people, and those other people are going to bother you at times. They're going to bother you. And without a doubt, you will need patient love for these people. And they're going to need patient love with you. They're going to need patient love with you. And if those people were interviewed about you, one of the things that they should be able to say because of what God has done for you is so-and-so, he's patient. So-and-so, she's patient. She's patient. So, in your Christ-shaped walk, you should live patiently with them. Patiently with them. And the word here, if you have your KJV or your NKJV, is long-suffering. And so what does it mean to be patient with someone? It means that you have a long fuse with them. It means you're holding out and not giving in to the anger that you're tempted to have because of the shortcomings and of the faults of the other people that you are walking with. That's why he started in with humility and gentleness, before telling you to have a long fuse with the shortcomings of others. Because if you don't have the self-awareness that says, I need to lower myself because what God has done, I need to stoop to serve others, then you absolutely will not be patient with them. So why is this the case? Well, our old nature is quick to be offended and is offended at the very fact that you should have a longer fuse on the temper than the one you have. Who wants to fight? Right? Like, there is part of us that is bristled with the idea that your fuse is not long enough. That is not long enough. So now Paul says, this patience with one another that you ought to have is consistent with who God has made you to be. That's what he's saying. And this calling can be unpacked like this. God has been patient with you. So much so that you ought to be patient with one another. And who you are is shown by how you treat those people that are close to you. That's who you are. And the reason we need long fuses in the church, because we are in close proximity with one another. That's why. That's why we need it. And you know what? Just like the villain on Scooby-Doo, and I would have got away with it if it weren't for those meddling kids, I would have got away with patience if it weren't for all of you all that caused me to need it. Right? Like, patience on paper is easy. Patience on paper is easy. And it also doesn't exist only on paper. It's easy, and it doesn't exist if it's just on paper. So being patient would be easy if it weren't for people. And then you just get mad at the microwave. in the air fryer. However, they make it hard, and they make patience necessary. Necessary that we are slow to anger. Slow to anger. And there's a lot at stake in this. In Matthew chapter 5 that we read earlier, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says this: "You have heard that it was said of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders will be liable of judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar and remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift." So Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount compares your anger and my anger to murder. And as one pastor put it, anger is internal murder. That's what it is, internal murder. And Jesus really cares whether or not you have anger in your heart. And here's how we know it. He says in Matthew 5, if you forget murdering for a second, if you're angry at your brother, you'll be liable to judgment. And you go, well, that makes sense. But do you realize how he closes that passage? He says, if you have done something to make someone else angry at you, you then have responsibility to go deal with that too. Because he doesn't just care about the anger in your heart, he cares about the anger in your spouse's heart because you made them angry. That's what's at stake here. Like, if you're provoking anger in someone else, he cares about that too. That matters to him too. Is your provocation of someone else's anger? That's how much he is against that. He's like, not only address it and deal with it if you have it, address it and deal with it if you cause it in somebody else. And here in Ephesians 4, the apostle tells us that our calling from God means that we live in a certain way. And that's not only humble, but that is gentle and patience. And the length of our fuse is a barometer, as has been said, to how much we are conformed to what Christ has done for us. So, in your Christ-shaped walk, you should live patiently with them and putting up with them. With patience, verse 2, bearing with one another in love. So, because who God has made you to be, you should put up with people. Now, let's make a clarification of what he's talking about here. He's talking about putting up with people as they are. Not people as you wished they were. Because the perfectionists among us, let's just see whose eyes pop up when I say that. The perfectionists among us, you are well acquainted with how you wish the world was. And the people around you, you are well acquainted, you don't have to be filled in, with the idea that you know who they're supposed to be. You know who they're supposed to be. You know how they're supposed to live. You don't have to be told, you already know. You already know it. But what's happening here in verse 2 is what he's telling you is that you ought to be putting up with them as they are, not as you wish they were. This is talking about putting up with people that are different than us, and as we see it, more difficult than us. That is what he's talking about. So you should be lengthen your fuse when you're tempted to light it. And you should put up with people when they're different than you. And that is what he says is connected to our calling and goes along the lines with it. I heard a comedian say this about women. He says, "Your wife doesn't want your opinion. She just wants her opinion reflected back to her in a deeper voice." Your wife doesn't want your opinion. She just wants your opinion reflected back to her in a deeper voice. That was so bad I did it twice. But she's not the only one. Women aren't the only one. We're all like that. I'm like that. You're like that. When you ask somebody's advice, you want, a lot of times you want them to go, well, wait, hold on, before I give you advice, what are you doing? And then you tell them what you're doing, you go, keep it up, brother. Keep it up, buddy. Keep on keeping on. You know what I'm saying? Keep on trucking. You're doing just fine. Oh, thank you. That is such good advice. That's what I was wanting. That's why I came to you. You're so wise. Right? Like, that's what we want. That's what we want. When we talk to people, we'll be like, I'm really having this hard time, and this is the way I'm dealing with it. Oh, you're dealing with it great. You are a superstar dealer with things. Thank you so much. That's what we want. That's what we want. But here, he's saying that we're going to have to bear to stand up under difficulty because there's difficulty that exists. So we're going to have to deal with people and put up with them when we don't like what they're doing. That's what this kind of love is. It's a kind of putting up of love. Like, it's a loving that puts up with somebody. That's what he's talking about here. This is talking about dealing with the human sandpaper that you know. And that you come to them and they just rub the hide off of you. This is not talking about coming to the person that is your soft place to land and the one that always encourages you, and you talk to them and you leave high-stepping and you're like, oh, I feel 10 pounds lighter. No, it's the person you come up to and you go, here, this is yours, this is yours, this is your past, this is what you've done that you shouldn't have done, and wow, why are you wearing that? You look like that. When's the last time you brushed your teeth? That's dealing with that person. That's dealing with that person. We all have a mixture of those people in our life. The ones that take the weight off of us, and the other ones that are like, here, what? You just, ugh. That scoff as they put things in our hands and say, carry this, and walk away. That's what he's talking about. Putting up with those people. And notice, this is when he's commanding us and telling us this is how your walk should be, he's not talking about this is how your facade should be. This isn't how your facade should be. Like, fake it. I really hate them. Hey, how you doing? It's great. You're so awesome. This isn't talking about fake it better. Fake it better. That's not what this is. This is a spirit-created love for somebody who irritates you, because you don't get to control who you walk with when you're following Jesus, but you do get to control how you're walking with them. And the governing principle of all of these things is, in our Christ-shaped walk, you should live patiently with them, putting up with them, and lovingly with them. With patience, bearing with one another in love. This patience, this putting up, is only done. You only do this when you love that person. If you don't love them, you will turn tail and run because of the inconvenience they cause you in your life. Later in Ephesians 5, verse 1, he will say, and we'll get to that one day, Ephesians 5, 1, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. So here in chapter 4, we're bearing with one another based on how that we have been bore with. There you go. How we have been loved. So in our Christ-shaped walk, we do so and walk as an imitator of God. That's why he starts this book with, you have been predestined for adoption as sons. That's why you can imitate your dad, because he's your dad. And what is it? Love. Specifically in this verse, anyway. Love. Walk lovingly. So, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, a chapter that speaks a lot about love, the apostle who wrote the letter that we're looking at says this about love. Love is patient. This isn't the only place that ties these two together in the scriptures. In other words, the commitment that we are to have to do good to the one another in here is not love if it is not patient. If there is nothing to endure, you don't know if you're loving someone or if you're just polite. You don't know if you're loving someone if they haven't made you put up with anything yet. They're on their honeymoon with you, and you could just be a polite person who makes good impressions. You could just make a good impression on people and be really polite. That could be. But the moment they give you the opportunity to put up with something, the reason you remain is because you are committed to their good because you love them, like you have been loved. And you may think, wow, if you put it like that, I don't think I actually love anybody. I definitely get tired of putting up with everybody. I just want to remind you that this is a Christ-shaped walk and not a natural response. This is not a natural response. Worldly people, you start handing stuff to them, that they will hit you with what you hand them. And they will leave whenever it's inconvenient. They will turn and run. This is a Christ-shaped walk that matches who he made us to be. That means it's possible. It's not automatic, but it's possible for us. And why is this possible? Because there was one who walked uphill because of love. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, God in the flesh, God become man, because God is holy and righteous and we are not, and we rebelled against him. We did not love him. We loved ourselves and loved what he gave us. And our sin separated us from him. And God became a man in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, because of love, walked uphill Mount Calvary, carrying his own cross, dripping with his own blood and the spit of his enemies as he climbed the hill to be shamed and have all of our sin and all of our rebellion placed upon him. And they hung him on a cross. And he died on the cross in our place for all of our sin. And on the third day, he rose from death. And if you're not a Christian, turn from your sin and trust solely in Jesus Christ, who walked that hill for you. He walked it for you. And if you are a Christian, you can keep on loving even when it goes uphill, because you are walking the path that Jesus already walked in your place for you. And as you walk in a manner worthy to your calling, it is a walk that is not alone. And I don't mean by you and other people. I mean Christ is with you on that walk as you desire to love people who are hard to love and be committed to their good, even when they're committed to your harm. You walk that hill with Christ. That you walk that road with him. You do not walk it alone. And the good news is that the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in you. On that road, trying to love the other people around you, even when it gets uphill and the backs of your legs are crying out for mercy, they have power from the Holy Spirit for you to keep on walking in love even when it's uphill. And you walk patiently, you walk putting up with them, and you walk in love. And notice there in verse 2, he's not talking about theoretical things. Patience that fits who God has made you to be. Because you will be tested. And you have been tested, let's be honest. Somebody has tried to see how long your fuse is. You've met somebody with a lighter, haven't you? You've met someone with a lighter. Maybe you married somebody with a lighter. You'll have the opportunity to put up with people who are different from you, who disagree with you, who will not repeat your opinion back to you in a different voice. They're on this road, and you will have an opportunity still to be committed to their good. When you're tempted to be angry with them. It's like somebody hears the call of what's it like to follow Jesus? Well, Jesus says that you ought to take up your cross and deny yourself. And you go, well, what's that trip going to look like? Well, you're going to meet somebody on your trip, and it's going to be uphill, and they are going to get on your nerves, and you are going to need to love them anyway. You're going to need to love them anyway. And the evidence of the way you walk beside them shows that you really are following him. It does. It gives evidence. Do you notice what he tells us here in this verse? Shows us what we're going to need. We're going to need a longer fuse. Why? Because we are to walk with patience. That's what it is. This means that you're going to have to restrain yourself in dealing with someone who's difficult. And he says you're going to need to do it in love because your neighbor needs someone committed to their good. And you need this on this walk, and you need this today to walk out of this room. You need this to walk out of this room. And I heard somebody talking about this a while back. The majority of your life is not premeditated. It's not planned out. It's you responding to things. It's you responding to things as they come. You respond as it comes. You take it as it comes. So much of what we're dealing with is a reaction. And in a moment, we're going to be tempted to take offense to someone. And it happens so fast, and anger comes so quickly. What do you do? What do you do? What he's talking, he's saying, like, you're going to need this on this trip. And there are going to be moments in which that you get tested to see if you actually have it. Well, you can't control what other people do. You can't control what they say or how they treat you. And we can't control this, but we can be someone who is not controlled by our emotions. Here's what I mean by that. Like the actual presence of our emotions is valid. In a way, it's okay if they're validated, but that doesn't mean they're an accurate portrayal of reality or a guide for the future. So they all wash on, anger like washes up on us like a wave real quick, like a sudden crash, driving us to a fence and to lash out. Because life never really goes as it's planned like that. So how do we get less offendable? We ask the question on how we do this. He's just told us to walk worthy of our calling here in the verse, to do so with patience, bearing one another with love. So how do we walk with a longer fuse then, if that's what he's telling us to do? Because honestly, as I've said in so many sermons, and you have too, like, thank you for the guilt trip. Now I'm going to take a lunch trip after my guilt trip, and where are we eating? Oh, we're eating downstairs. Praise the Lord. So when this guilt trip is over, then we'll take a lunch trip downstairs. I don't want that to be the case. We can't check out because what I'm talking about is hard either. There's a difference between hard things and hopeless things. Hard and hopeless are not the same thing. Your temper problem is not a hopeless thing. It is a hard thing. It's a hard thing. He says your fuse need to be longer. It's only worthy of what God has done with you for you, like having this longer fuse. So where's the long fuse store? Let's go buy them. That's silly. Well, I think there's help for us in the scriptures for this. If you remember last week, I referenced Matthew chapter 18. And Jesus told his disciples how to deal with sin in the context of the chapter. And he takes them through what we now go through for church discipline matters and things like that. And which makes Peter ask a question. Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Now in Luke 17, Jesus is talking and he says, his point there is that if you forgive your brother and he repents, you ought to keep going. And he says seven times in Luke chapter 17. So in Matthew 18, Peter's like, so we're talking about church discipline and sin and people sinning against us. I know the answer. All right, so if somebody sins against me, you got seven strikes and you're out. Seven strikes. That's as long as this fuse has got to be, brother. Seven. So I'm keeping count. You're on four. You're on three. You're on six. Those little three down there are on 175,436. Right? Is that how things are to be? No. No. So Peter asks this, and he's frustrated with just how forgiving are we going to have to be with each other? How long is this fuse going to have to be, brother? Come on. Help me out. But Jesus says, kind of corrects him, you missed the point. People are way more sinful than you realize. Including you, by the way, Peter. But anyway, they're way more sinful. And you're going to have to be way more forgiving than that. And then he tells the story of the unforgiving servant. The one who was forgiven his ocean of debt and then returns to somebody who owes him a little bit of money, grabs him by the collar of the shirt, throws him against a wall and says, pay what you owe. That's the context of what we referenced last week. So I think there's hope for the short fuse because this failing servant in Matthew 18 didn't have what Paul says we need here in Ephesians 4. He didn't have it. And what is that? Well, the first thing to get a longer fuse, you need a longer memory on what God has done for you. Do you see the amnesia there in Matthew 18? The guy comes in and he goes, here, your debt has been cleared. And he goes, oh, thank you so much. This jerk owes me. Do you see how quickly he changed? He turned the corner. How quickly did he forget what God has done for him? That he would light it up on the next guy he sees. So we need, to get a longer fuse, we need a longer memory on what God has done for us. One moment he's receiving forgiveness, and the next minute, he's dishing out punishment over little things. And he loses the game of telephone. He loses the game of telephone. Have you played the game of telephone? Do you know what it is? Do you know what that is? You go, all right, God has forgiven you. God has forgiven you. He has set you free. You go, okay, I got it. I remember God has forgiven me. Speaking of forgiveness, I can get some money out of this dude over here. What was it I was supposed to remember? I forget. And then he starts going in on the guy's debt. So here we are back to the scriptures on a Sunday. And we're going, God has forgiven you. Your identity is now in Christ. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling that you have received with patience. And you go, okay, I get it. I get it. You should have a long fuse with I can't believe they did that. Hey, do you remember what he just said? No, I forgot it already. Did they really do that to me? I cannot believe that they would say that. Who do they think they're talking to? Do you remember what he just said? No, I have no idea. We need to get a longer fuse. We need a longer memory of our identity in Christ and what God has done for us. So, to get a longer fuse, we need a longer memory of what God has done for us and what our identity is. And secondly, to get a longer fuse, you need to keep short accounts with your neighbor. Keep short accounts with your neighbor. In other words, don't let bitterness build up in you. Repent of the low boil of frustration that you keep going. I don't let it go all the way to the top, but I just kind of hang out right below boiling. So what happens in the verse, or in Matthew 18, is he gets forgiven and he quickly forgets about that forgiveness and goes into punishment mode. I'm king of the castle now. And he refuses to keep a short account with the people who've wronged him. That's how you get a longer fuse, is forgive often. Just like God has done for you, and that is how God has dealt with you. That is what he's done. The people with a long memory of what God has done for you, and short accounts of your neighbor, is not ready to pop off. They're ready to keep loving, even when that trip is uphill. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your scriptures. I pray that they would indeed accomplish what you set forth for them to do. I pray that we would walk in a manner that's worthy of the calling which we have received, with humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love. Create that in us by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.